You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into a Wednesday Locked On Balls right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Glad to have you guys along for the ride. Got a fun show coming up here today. But first, the NFL season just right around the corner, and nobody covers it like the Locked On Podcast Network. August the 30th through September the 8th, Locked On's Ultimate Season Preview is taking you through every team and every division with help from the Odyssey lineup of NFL experts. Follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, tuning in beginning at August the 30th. So today is Ward Wednesday. Josh Ward will stop by to the show in segments 2 and 3. We'll have a detailed conversation about Tennessee fall camp, where this team looks like heading into game week, the quarterbacks, the coaching, and a whole lot more. That's coming up in segments 2 and 3. But kicking things off here in segment number 1, Tim Banks, Tennessee defensive coordinator, took to the podium. A lot of similarities with Josh Heupel, who took to the podium on Monday. We will give you the highlights of what Tim Banks had to say, a couple of notes here, and some preseason honors bestowed upon the Tennessee football program. So, guys, Locked On Balls, it's 5 days a week. It's a weekday podcast. You can find it pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, absolutely free. Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, tons and tons of other listening options. I have a Linktree link in my bio at _Kaner and at Locked On Balls. You can check it out there as well. I'm your host, Eric Kane, radio personality in Knoxville, Tennessee, the sports animal, and a writer for the VolQuest.com website covering Tennessee football and recruiting. So let's get into it. This is a Wednesday episode of Locked On Vols. Tim Banks, Tennessee defensive coordinator, took to the podium yesterday, and I, kind of in my intro there, I said a lot of similarities between Tim Banks and Josh Heupel from Monday's press conference. You're talking a lot, you're not saying a lot, okay? And again, I'm not killing these coaches. I'm not harping on these coaches. That's, you know, as Josh Ward will point out here in just a couple of seconds, you know, we spend the whole entire offseason in talking season. Now we are in coach talk season, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, you know, well, we're getting in there, we're getting after. I really like my bunch. They're giving it, we're getting better every single day. We got to complete the drill, complete the day, win the day, you know, stuff like that. That's coach talk. And the more you're involved in coaching, the more you kind of get this reputation for coach talk, and certainly Tim Banks is very, very experienced. You know, I guess the highlight to take away from Tim Banks and his media appearance from Tuesday was, I think he likes his group on defense. I think they're competing. I think they're playing hard. They've improved miles and miles, of course, since the start of spring practice and that first padded day of practice, as Josh Heupel pointed out last week, or on Monday, rather. You know, it seems like they want to get better, they want to get coached up, and they're ready to compete. And, you know, you got to have the want to, or you're going to have nothing, you know, to start out with. And so that's a good sign. I asked Tim Banks about cornerback and how many cornerbacks he realistically sees playing in a game right now. And he said, right now, 3. You've got 3 in the first rotation, and then there's a battle for cornerback 3 and 4, or for 4 and 5 right now. He didn't mention any names. So I believe that would be Alante Taylor. I believe that would be Warren Burrell. The question is, who's number 3? Is it Kenneth George? Or is it Brandon Turnage? Or is it Kamal Haddon? He wouldn't go into specifics. He later did talk about the newcomers on defense in terms of the cornerbacks and Kamal Haddon and Brandon Turnage, saying that they continue to fight, claw, and scratch. They're learning. They're figuring some things out. Getting in shape, but they will have a role, whether it be playing with the ones, reserve role, and special packages. They will contribute for this football team, and of course, we expected that whenever they announced they were coming to Tennessee. So that was interesting there. Ask about a number of positions, and Tim Banks only named one starter, okay? He literally only named one starter on Tuesday. Asking about the star position, he said, yeah, well, we like our guy up front, Theo Jackson. Okay, so that's his sign of approval that Theo Jackson's going to start at nickelback, essentially, right? That's the only one he would really give away. Like, we know that Alante Taylor is going to play cornerback on Thursday of next week, right? He wouldn't say Alante Taylor. I have a good suspicion that Warren Burrell is going to be the other starting cornerback. He wouldn't say it. But he said Theo Jackson. And that was one of the more intriguing storylines and battles in terms of position battles throughout camp between he and Denico Slaughter. And he said that Tim Banks said that the competition now is at second and third to decipher who's going to be that next man up at star. If it's not Denico Slaughter, Who is it again? Is it a cornerback practicing over in the star position? Is it Brandon Turnage? I asked Jalen McCullough later on Tuesday when we met with the media if he's been practicing at star at all, and he said a little bit, but mainly I'm just at safety. And so that told me that Jalen McCullough is not really in consideration to be a star player, quote-unquote, no pun intended, for this defense, at least right now. So it'll be interesting. Theo Jackson's been getting a lot of praise. Willie Martinez last week said that Theo Jackson was the most, he and Warren Burrell were the most consistent guys in camp in spring, and that's carried over very, very well into fall camp. So he's had a really good fall. He's had a really good fall camp, and it looks like he will not only start at the star position from what it sounds like, but he will also be your primary punt returner to begin the season. Of course, there will be some competition there as well. Talking about the linebacker spot and what Juwan Mitchell brings to the program, he said experience, he's a tackle machine, all that type of stuff. The defensive line got bodies, they've got depth, and he even said depth about linebacker spot. And I think it's worth noting how far that group's come. So sure, you do have depth, but in the grand scheme of things, you have one player that I think is a good football player in there right now, you know, in terms of what I've seen in Juwan Mitchell. I'm eager to see Jeremy Banks. I'm eager to see Aaron Beasley and Solon Page, Pat Garland, maybe more in Joseph a little bit. I'm eager to see that bunch get out there and compete and see how much they've improved, because we don't get to see much of that during fall camp. So that was kind of the highlights of Tim Banks. When he met with the media, Jalen McCullough, when we met with him post-Tim Banks, I asked him about Trayvon Flowers, because we've heard Trayvon Flowers had a good camp, and he said, hey, he's had the best camp of any of us, and potentially he's had the best camp of anybody on the team, that being Trayvon Flowers. I thought that was a pretty good hat tip to his safety over there, with McCullough playing strong and Trayvon playing free. Real quick, before we get to Josh Ward, want to mention that the SEC coaches, all a preseason team, came out on Tuesday. Cade Mays, your first team representative for Tennessee on the offensive line. Paxton Brooks, a second team punter. And Alante Taylor, a third team defensive back. If that sounds familiar, well, that was how it rolled out for the media when the media voted back in Hoover in late July. Makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, the SEC is always loaded with offensive linemen, so at first I was a little surprised back in July whenever we were in Hoover that Cade Mays would be elected to first team, but you got to put into account his whole career at Georgia as well. He's had a really nice career, even though I thought he was a little down last year, his first year at Tennessee. But Cade Mays up there one. Paxton Brooks, the second team punter, is not surprising. And then Alante Taylor is third team defensive back. I mean, when you're doing three teams, at some positions, you're really searching to get some players, and Alante Taylor is a guy that's been here and played a ton of football. So that makes a whole lot of sense for me when you come to think about it. So congratulations to those three guys. Will they end up on postseason teams? We will have to see, but of course, there's football to be played between now and then. Coming up in segment number two, Josh Ward joins the show at Josh_Ward, host of Sports 180, former host of Locked On Vols. We'll catch up with Josh Ward in segments two and three when we return. But first, let me remind you guys about Bet Online. It's that time of the year again. All eyes now turning to football as teams get back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action. You can get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the Intraweb's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. It's open now at betonline.ag. Head on over to the website or use that mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. You heard me right, 100% welcome bonus. All you need to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON. So be sure to take advantage of the opening day super promo where you make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, the season opener between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager's refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using that promo code NFL100. So for the opening day super promo, NFL100, for 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit, it's promo code LOCKEDON. From football to basketball to boxing, all your favorite casino games in Las Vegas, don't wait to take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And another proud sponsor of Locked On Vols, that is Renison Bank. The only thing more exciting than finding a new home is owning it. The experts at Renison Mortgage are here for you. We have a wide variety of mortgage options to meet your home financial needs. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or looking to finance your forever home, Heath will guide you through the process to find the right option for you. Heath has been doing the mortgage industry for over 26 years. He successfully helped over tens of thousands of families finance their family homes. They're large enough to offer a wide variety of products, but small enough to provide custom hands-on experience and service to your clients at the community bank. Call Heath Al Britton today at 615-347-0578. That's 615-347-0578, or visit them online at therenaissancebank.com. Heath Al Britton, NMLS number 1964-53, member FDIC. Equal housing lender. All loans are subject to the underwriting and credit approval. Bank NMLS number 402-669. Want to welcome on back to the show Josh Ward for Award Wednesday. And of course, Josh, former host here of Locked On Vols, the host of Sports 180 on the Sports Animal, 99.1 FM, 990 AM, online worldwide, sportsradio.wnml.com. Josh, how are we doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Eric, we're getting close.
We are getting close. Just a week and a day. So 8 days, quick math. Yeah, 8 days away from football time in Tennessee. Bowling Green comes to town. Josh Heupel on Monday, still no quarterback announcement. I think we all know who it's going to be. But your thoughts, your takeaways on why Josh Heupel won't go ahead and announce it right now?
Yeah, it's just, you know, some coaches want to go ahead and get it out of the way, like Mark Stoops did at Kentucky here in the last couple of weeks. And some coaches want to just keep it private, even though he probably knows at this point the public conversation is all about Joe Milton. There is no Harrison Bailey or Hendon Hooker talk in terms of who's going to take the first snap. It's all about Joe Milton. But that's what he wants to do. And, you know, maybe that's to help continue to push competition on the practice field and just focus on that, not what the outside conversation. But fans are, I think, eager to see what Joe Milton can do. And there's I've sensed some growing optimism in the last week or two. And I think a lot of that is hoping that Joe Milton can go out there and be a big-time quarterback very quickly.
Well, how do you handle the backup quarterback position? If it is Joe Milton, and that's my expectation, yours and that of many. If you're Josh Heupel and Joey Halsey, you know, it's football in 2021 nowadays where Harrison Bailey can say, I'm out of here. How do you keep that room together? How do you sell to keep all that room together in order to not have another departure potentially?
I don't know exactly, other than saying, hey, nothing's been decided long term, and we still want to see what all of you can do. That's what you're pitching to Milton, Hooker, and Bailey, and you hope that they continue to fight. You know, if Bailey actually were to come to them and have some kind of long-term conversation, you also remind him that he's only in his second year in college and his first year with this coaching staff, which obviously applies to the other guys, but they're older quarterbacks with more experience in college than what Harrison Bailey has. But make no mistake, Tennessee really can't afford to lose a quarterback. If Harrison Bailey were to decide, hey, I'm third here, I don't know that I fit in, and he wanted to go elsewhere immediately, that would be a problem. Two quarterbacks would be a huge problem for Tennessee. I don't need to remind fans of the amount of times they've needed more than two, because they don't have to go back far at all to find that. John Pennington mentioned on the Sports Source this past week, I think 5 out of the last 10 seasons they've needed 3 quarterbacks. So at least. So you're hoping that Harrison Bailey understands he has a long way to go and that he'll continue to develop, because there's a chance that he's number 3. And if that's the case, it could cause him to ask, okay, where am I moving forward? And Taven Jackson's not coming to campus this fall. You have a little while to go before you add him and probably somebody else.
Yeah, you had plenty of options there. You know, first part of summer, you had 5 scholarship quarterbacks in the room. Caden Salter dismissed before it even began for him. Brian Maurer says goodbye. And now you're left with these 3, and you mentioned Taven Jackson coming in to the mix later. So it's interesting to see how things can change rather quickly. Moving on, you know, Josh, I don't know if in listening to these coaches speak this week, really Josh Heupel, the last 2 times he spoke to the media, it seems like in spring and in preseason, the beginning of camp, everything was open, everything was forthcoming. As you get closer to game week, you know, even the stuff Josh Heupel says, he's talking, but he's not really saying anything. Tim Banks earlier on Tuesday, he was talking, he wasn't really saying anything. It's interesting to see how coaches kind of go about with how they pick and choose what they want to say. And that's not a knock on them. I'm just saying that's just being a coach, yeah. But not a whole lot being said right now to the media.
Yeah, it's funny. The month, 6 weeks leading up to the start of the season is talking season. We're in coach talk season in college football, because they're not going to give up much. I wouldn't expect them to, but you hope that what's going on behind the scenes and some of it that we've heard about from the players, the buy-in, the work, you've heard positive talk about individual players from their teammates, that actually does show up on the field, not only against Bowling Green. The expectation is that Tennessee will go out there and win easily and put up a bunch of points. But when you face tougher competition starting week 2 against Pittsburgh, that carries over. So, you know, let's see. Josh Heupel, he has his work cut out for him on the offensive side. And no matter what Tim Banks says, everybody recognizes how big of a task he has in coming in and trying to help a defense and actually improve a defense that was coached by one of the most respected defensive coaches in the country in Jeremy Pruitt the last few years. So I think the optimism around the defensive line improving, I think that's real. I think their depth is real up front in terms of guys that they believe they can count on, but it's a lot more than that. What kind of pressure can they create? What kind of turnovers can they force? That's a must in this defense from Tim Banks.
Yeah, the defense has been kind of the talk the last couple of weeks. As we spoke last week, has it arrived? No, I don't think it ever will. Will it be a solid unit compared to some other units around the SEC? Maybe. I'm not banking on that, but still, the improvements and the reinforcements that have been there, it's been a good camp for that unit. Tim Banks speaking on Tuesday, I asked him specifically about cornerback. You know, how many cornerbacks do you expect to play? He said, we got 2 to 3 guys right now in that first rotation we feel good about. The battle is for 4 and 5. Now, that's Alante Taylor, Warren Burrell. The question is that number 3 guy Kenneth George or Brandon Turnage? It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. But regardless, the depth at cornerback, the depth on the defensive line now, and really, I mean, Tim Banks again on Tuesday, the depth at inside linebacker, you have options now to where the coaches feel like you can not only survive, but maybe build something this season if you get some things going your way.
Yeah, they hope so. You need at least a player or two in each of those position groups to emerge right now. Now, if they deal with injuries and they have guys go down, I really wonder what kind of position are they in on the back half of the defense. The up front, I think they're pretty good in terms of guys that they can count on. I don't think that's much of a concern at all. But in the secondary, when we talk about the first 4 to 5 names, I think you feel pretty good about, you know, their experience, their overall ability, and the coaching that they'll receive from Tim Banks and Willie Martinez. So I think that's real. But again, if a couple of guys go down, where are you? If you don't have Alante Taylor and his experience out there, where are you? Warren Burrell's a guy that he's played some. He hasn't played that much. And we still need to see how high of a level he can play against talented receivers, guys with really good speed in the SEC. So let's see. The defense, I think it will be better than what a lot of people feared during the offseason. But how good will it be against some of the top opponents that the Vols go up against? And what can opposing offensive coordinators figure out? I think that's still a real concern for Tennessee a little more than a week before the start of the season. We're not going to get the answer most likely against Bowling Green. The next week we might.
All right, that's part one of my conversation with Josh Ward here on Award Wednesday. More from Josh coming up in segment number 3. But first, Built Bar. 9 delicious flavors. Definitely a flavor for everybody. And they're all passionate about their favorite flavors at BuiltBar.com, the Built Bar users. You got coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, something for everyone. And if you haven't tried them all, I encourage you to order a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors in your order. Why are Built Bars so important? Well, it's a protein bar that looks and tastes like a candy bar. Why? Well, it's covered in 100% chocolate, but they're loaded with 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. A couple of these flavors even have up to 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carb. But every single one of them, 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy for you looking to lose or maintain weight. So if I haven't convinced you yet, go ahead and get there. Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your next order. It's at BuiltBar.com. I'm not really asking you here, Josh, if you changed your record prediction for Tennessee this season, but as we've gone on through camp and we get closer and closer to the season officially starting, some of these toss-up games, these Pittsburghs, these Missouris, these Kentuckys, have you wavered at all? Has Tennessee given you any indication that you feel more confident in the Vols potentially picking up one of those games, Pittsburgh at home and, of course, Missouri and Kentucky on the road?
No, I don't think I've wavered much. My record prediction is 6-6. That's what I've gone with for most of the offseason. That's where I still am. Now, I plugged in the numbers. Game Day on Rocky Top has the win total machine, which we've used on Sports 180 the last several years to get a feel of where we are, not just emotionally or in our heads without plugging everything in, but what the numbers say. And I came out at 6.6. So I'm not rounding up, but 6.6 is obviously closer to 7 than 5. So What's more likely, Tennessee can jump up to 7-5 or fall short and not get to 6 wins? then I would say 7-5. It's not to say that that's easy, but I think they just have a bunch of winnable games. And if they get everything figured out at quarterback, despite the concerns on defense, if you can score, then I think Tennessee has a number of teams on the schedule. Pitt, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss even. Ole Miss is going to score points, but I think that Tennessee will have a chance to score against the Rebels this year. All of those are very winnable games for Tennessee.
So in that realm, what is a success? I think I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, but what's a successful year for Tennessee and for Josh Heupel in year number one? Because I think it's kind of a different measuring stick considering where the program is, year number one in general. What is a successful season in 2021 for Tennessee football?
I think getting to 6 wins and being a lot more competitive in most of the games. If Tennessee gets blown out by Alabama and Georgia, okay. If you can be competitive to where third approaching the fourth quarter, you think Tennessee has maybe a shot in one of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, that'd be really big, but not getting blown out. It wasn't just that Tennessee went 3-7 last year. Tennessee went 3-7 and got blown out at home by Kentucky and couldn't do anything in the second half against Arkansas and had an implosion against Auburn. I know fans don't need to relive that, but that added to how bad things were. If Tennessee goes 6-6, but 5 or 6 of the losses are lopsided, I don't think that's very good. So, you know, think about year one for Jeremy Pruitt. Not only did they fall short of a bowl game, so 5-7, which was really bad, but they got destroyed by Missouri and Vanderbilt to close out the season. That made it a lot worse. So if Tennessee gets to 6 wins, certainly 7, I think that would be really nice for Tennessee, but can be more competitive throughout the 12 games. That, to me, is a really good sign of where the team would be.
Josh Ward, Sports 180, former host of Locked On Vols here, joining the show. And you look at this receiver room, some guys have been banged up. Bayless Jones has been banged up. The Jimmys, Holiday and Callaway have been banged up a little bit. A guy that's emerged and really has been a guy that's been here a long time, but a guy that's had a really good camp is Cedric Tillman. He, along with Romel Keaton, who's had a good camp. How deep do you think this wide receiver group can be? And you know, though it lacks a lot of experience for the most part, I feel like this is probably a strength for the Tennessee football team.
I think it really could be. There's a lot of talent. Now, this is another position group or a collection of players where we're talking about ability, speed, in some cases, potential, and lack of production. So what can they do? And the obvious hope is that Josh Heupel and the offense, that it will all add up to better quarterback play, which would have to result in better wide receiver play. But you know, these guys came in together last year with a good amount of hype. They weren't the most highly rated players in the class, and they've lost one of the wide receivers from 2020. But Jimmy Callaway was a well-thought-of prospect. Jalin Hyatt showed as a freshman what he can do on the field. And then Jimmy Holiday was thought of as a really good athlete in the class. You know, came in as a quarterback, but quickly transitioned. So some older guys, Cedric Tillman, Romel Keaton, if they get more of an opportunity. And then Bayless Jones, who I've tried to at least mention with the breakout list, because I think we talk about him like he's done more than he has at wide receiver. And I think Bayless is eager to do more at wide receiver. A lot of his production has been as a return man. So I haven't gone through many guys that have done a lot. And when you look at their career stats, but I just mentioned a lot of guys with a lot of potential. I didn't get to everybody either. So a wide receiver could be one of the bright spots this season if everything comes together. And of course, if they stay healthy.
That's you mentioned Bayless. You know, I view Jalin Hyatt that way. Like, you know, I was talking with Will West on the starting lineup Tuesday morning, and I feel like we're talking about Jalin Hyatt as if he's arrived. Certainly he flashed as a true freshman. I think he's the best receiver you have. He's got everything you want, but it's not like he's arrived at all. I mean, he was used for one purpose last year, take the top off the defense. He's going to be asked to do so much more this year. So in regards to what you said about Bayless Jones Jr., that's how I view Jalin Hyatt this year. But Tennessee obviously going to have to rely on both of those guys moving forward to go and make some plays. Moving on, one more question. This is really an off-season spring practice question, but I mean, here we are, it's almost game week. Deep Beckwith is still a guy that I feel like can help this football team. And he's buried in the depth chart at running back. You're not going to get above Jabari Small, Tyon Evans, Jalin Wright. You know, if you were Josh Heupel, what would you do with Deep Beckwith right now? I'm not saying anything drastic like moving to tight end. That's unrealistic. But what would you do with the talent of Deep Beckwith?
Yeah, Deep Beckwith is a player that 4 to 6 months ago, I would have expected that we would be talking more about him right now besides the way that you just asked that question. But to me, Beckwith is a guy that's a good athlete. He was a part of that 2020 class too. So he's in that second year group. The problem is, where exactly does he fit in? And the idea of him being a running back is probably more fun than the logistics that come together with him competing against guys that actually play the position and have during their high school career. But I still go back to talking to his high school coach when Beckwith signed with Tennessee, and he said, hey, he's a guy, get him on the field. You can put him in the backfield. I think he was thinking more direct snap opportunities, but you can put him there. You can put him in the slot. You can line him up in different positions on the field, and his size and athleticism will allow you different opportunities to make plays on the field. And I still think that that's there, but where exactly does he fit in? I don't know. And at least based on conversation, it seems like Tennessee's coaching staff is trying to figure that out too.
All right, Josh. So final thing real quick before we get in, we'll talk to you tomorrow, of course, but Bowling Green, what's your final score prediction?
Final score for Tennessee against Bowling Green, I will say 52-14.
52-14. All right. So when it's not that final score, we'll come back and we'll hunt you down. Josh.
That's
Ward's
a cover. Hey, that's a cover. So if they cover and I'm not right on my score, it still counts at certain sports books out there.
That is true. Josh, what's coming up the rest of the week on Sports 180?
Yeah, a lot of football talk leading up to the start of the season. On Thursday's show, we will have an interview with defensive lineman Matthew Butler. We do a call of all segment on Sports 180, and Tennessee senior leader will join us, and that'll be at 12:30 on Thursday. So look forward to that, plus a lot of football coverage.
Again, that's Josh Ward at Josh_Ward, host of Sports 180, former host of Locked On Vols here on the podcast. An extended conversation with Josh Ward on Tennessee football here on Award Wednesday. That's going to do it here for today, guys. We talked to Josh Ward. We went over some news and notes from Tennessee camp in segment number one. And now we're set for a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols coming up tomorrow. Now that we've got you set on Locked On Vols, what about Locked On Bets? Betting on college football doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.